You've got a bit of a connection with the Northwest Coast. People that may not know, of course, your late father Clayton was a woodcutting champion, and your family still sponsors the Henley Foot, which is named after him at La Trobe every year.
Correct. Look, obviously that was my hometown when I was just a boy. I think I got my first job ever as a parts delivery boy at the Ford dealership when it was in the city. So we go back, and obviously my mum still lives in Devonport, and we've still obviously got a farm out at Sprayton, so Devonport's still a bit of a house for me, home for me.
So when you had your first delivery job as you say, working for the local Ford company, is that when you sort of got hooked on Ford?
No, it was sometime later. That was when I was just 15 years old during school holidays. I was just fortunate enough to get a job at Ford when I was 20 years old. I had no indication at all I might end up being a Ford dealer later in my life, but they're just the things that happened in time.
You're well known for your entrepreneurial projects, many of them around the state, and recently, of course, you know, the Devonport Living City project. It's through stage one, and recently you expanded your Jackson Motor Company showroom in Devonport, not part of the Living City project, but because the Living City project's going ahead, you thought that gave you a lot of confidence.
Well, I think it's good that if you can see council strategically planning a way out, I think it's, you know, part of the whole planning concept for any city is to have a really good, robust city precinct, if you like, that creates, you know, the warmth for people to come to town. And I think that sort of gave me the confidence to say the city council have got a good strategic approach. They're going to try and build their city back, and that just sort of gave me the tick of approval to say it's worth investing a bit more in Devonport.
Stage one is all to do with civic amenities and basically for the council and the public, but then stage two will involve bringing more private sector investment into it, including hopefully an international hotel, which has been spoken about. I've been living in Devonport for 30 years and it's been spoken about since then, and probably a fair bit before it as well. And the hotel industry is something where you've got a bit of a finger in the pie. Is it something you'd look at, or would you recommend it to other people in the business?
Well, look, potentially a bit of both. Obviously, it'll depend on my age. I can't keep building hotels forever or other things forever. But hotels, certainly, you know, Tasmania of the last 4 or 5 years, the tourism aspect of our state has really improved, probably because of Mona, but it's transferred through to the north. And obviously, the boats coming into Devonport's the gateway to basically sea travel. So I think Devonport certainly needs a new hotel. It's been, you know, as you say, it's been talked about for a long time. I think the gateway was built when I was just a kid. So it's a, you know, it's probably 50 years since you've seen a new hotel in Devonport. And again, to get international travellers, and travellers not necessarily international, but travellers from all across the country, you really do need good facilities to bring people to your town. And now, I'm not suggesting that the Gateway is not a good facility, but you need new and modern facilities to bring people. It's just a fact of life. Same in Lonnie, same in Hobart, wherever it might be. You need, you know, some new rooms, some different rooms. And if you don't have them, people won't come. That's pretty simple.
Yeah, I guess what's good for Devonport's good for the whole Northwest Coast as well. The benefits flow out to other areas as well.
Well, you do. You just get people coming to your city that, you know, might not necessarily come, or might, you know, if you like, might come into Devonport and say, we'll do some business here today, but we'll go through to Launceston to stay, or we'll go through to Hobart to stay. And if you can get those visitors to stay in your city for a longer period of time, it'll just put more money back into your economy.
You mentioned retirement there, just in passing. You could retire now if you wanted to, because you've been quite successful. What keeps you going?
Probably I'd just like to get up every day and keep at it. You know, I'm 64, but, you know, hopefully I can work till I'm 104. I've told my wife I'm going to live to 100, and I've invited a few people to my birthday already, but, you know, let's see whether that transpires. But I think I enjoy working, so I won't retire probably until I physically have to, but probably if you're going to take a big risk, if you like, to build a hotel, you need to be sure that, you know, your health's good, you're well funded, and you can see the project through, because to build a hotel is not a 5-minute wonder. It takes a lot of planning. It's probably a 3 or 4 year cycle to do that, so a lot of planning, a lot of money and a lot of energy to sort of pull it off.
Well, you're certainly not treading water at the moment, because only in the last couple of days we've had an announcement, your company getting together with Joseph Cromie for another big development in Launceston.
Well, look, we're certainly underway with the silos, which is probably going to take me another 18 months, but it's probably taken me 18 months in planning, another 18 months to build. So we'll get going, say, Christmas next year, and then it'll probably be another couple of years for the hotel to get to a good profit position. So, you know, it's a good long-term project, the hotel. I think it'll be a really good one for Lonnie. And I think the similar thing will happen in Devonport. You're a couple of years in the planning, a couple of years to build, and then a couple of years to get it into profit. That's the sort of cycle of time you need for a strong hotel. And I think a hotel in Devonport's probably going to be 60 or 70 rooms to make it viable. That's the sort of time span you need to make it work.
You mentioned your age, and you're a few years older than me. Not a lot, but you'd be old enough to remember the sort of people that I looked up to when I was growing up. And you look about people that have been entrepreneurs and developers like yourself, and you look back to when you were young and I was young, and Rolf Voss and people like that, would they have been the sort of people that inspired you to these sorts of things?
Well, I can remember Rolf Voss, just in my younger days. Now, I didn't personally know him. I know a few people that did know him. A few people that knew him from Launceston. I can't say that I aspired, I think. I think everybody needs young entrepreneurs to come through. So, you know, hopefully what I do might aspire somebody else to do. Certainly I think I've got my aspirations from different things in life, but, not all of those have come out of Tasmania. Some came from the mainland, but I just enjoy building things. When you can create something, you know, I've always said from not much, if you go and buy an old building, might have passed its use-by date, you can change its use and, you know, rejuvenate it. Up where we are at Devonport now, you know, it was the old tee up cordial factory. Prior to that, I'm not sure what it was, but, you know, we completely rejuvenated that, and the structure itself just got reused, and that's what I do. You know, that's probably what my skill is, if you like. But it gives you a fair bit of a kick to sort of see something being created out of not much.
How important do you think the Cradle Mountain Master Plan is to the Northwest Coast and Tasmania as a whole?
Oh, look, I think, you know, any strategic plan's really important, and I think that there's a lot more emphasis now on strategic planning to say, let's look out the track 10 years, let's get our planning in order, let's plan to build this over here and this over there. It just gives developers a bit of confidence, you know, and bankers and people probably generally to see that there is a really good plan, you know, in the pipeline for the future. And if you don't have that, it's really hard to work through, very hard.
You were talking on Friday night, as I said, at the Devonport Chamber of Commerce and Industry annual dinner. The topic of your speech is Tasmanian opportunities through a developer's lens. In a nutshell, I know you're probably going to talk for 20 minutes or half an hour on the night, but in a nutshell, what's the biggest thing that's biggest opportunity for Tasmania in the future in your eyes?
Look, clearly, I think we're a services industry state. I think manufacturing is probably on the way down, and I think tourism is significantly going to be our biggest driver of employment over a period of time. And, you know, that'll bring a lot of people in. As I say, we're a service industry. If the tourism job grows, I sell more cars to the rental firms, and on it goes. So I think tourism is certainly a big driver. Agriculture is still important. Timber is still important, but I think the services industry is probably going to be our key.
Well, I hope you're right, Errol, and I hope that everyone gets behind the idea and helps push Tasmania forward. You're certainly doing your share. Thanks for your time this afternoon. Enjoy your visit back home on Friday night.
I look forward to it, and thanks for the talk.
You're more than welcome. Errol Stewart, developer, Tasmanian, is his biggest title as far as he's concerned. Now, the dinner's going to be held at the Quality Gateway Inn, 6 o'clock for dinner at 7. It's $55 if you want to go along for non-members, and if you're a non-member, good opportunity to hear a prominent Tasmanian speak. $45 for members as well. And as I said, it gets underway at 7 o'clock on Friday. If you want to know more information, you can contact the Devonport Chamber of Commerce and Industry.